Blog Talk Radio.
We are live for Fan for Racing, NASCAR, and Race Talk. This is Monday night, May the 8th, and we have a really good show lined up for all of our listeners tonight. Starting with our co-host will be here shortly, Sal Segala, and he and I will talk about our highlights from the weekend of racing when he arrives. Then at 8:40 tonight, 8:40 Eastern Time, we have joining us in our winner's circle, Travis Miller. He won the Can-Am Pro Series East race at South Boston Speedway this past weekend. That was two in a row for MDM Motorsports. And then Harrison Burton went on later and won the next race because it was a doubleheader at South Boston this weekend, making it three in a row for MDM Motorsports. So tonight we're talking with Travis Miller, the winner of that first Twin 100 at South Boston this weekend. At 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we go to the ARCA Racing Series, where Justin Haley, again with MDM Motorsports, won the ARCA Racing Series event that took place at Talladega Super Speedway this weekend on Saturday. And we will chat with him about his victory with MDM Motorsports. Big, big weekend for MDM Motorsports to get so many wins across different series. So that's going to be pretty fantastic. That will be during our 9 o'clock half hour. At 9:30, we do have some post-race audio from both the Xfinity Series as well as the Cup Series at Talladega. Of course, Eric Almirola won the Xfinity Series race on Saturday, and then Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Won the Cup Series race on Sunday. So Sal and I will talk about both of those races. We'll do our post-race review during that 9:30 half hour. So stay tuned for that. Again, I'm expecting Sal to join me here shortly, so hopefully he'll be here in just a few minutes, and we will chat with him. I'm sending him a little message as we speak, just to remind him that the show is on, and we're ready to get started. I'll tell you what, for me, this weekend, I thought it was pretty exciting to see two teams that don't normally end up in victory lane be in victory lane this weekend. Biagi Dembeste won in the Xfinity Series racing with Eric Almirola. How exciting was it to see him in victory lane? And then also to see Ricky Stenhouse and Roush Fenway Racing finally make it to victory lane was pretty exciting. So, Sal, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was just talking about some of my highlights from the weekend of racing, and I think the best thing that happened all weekend is that we saw Eric Almirola in victory lane, along with, on Sunday, Roush Fenway and Ricky Stenhouse in victory lane. We haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, you haven't seen, you've never seen Ricky in victory lane. This is his first win, and as far as I'm sorry, but yeah, I was good to see Eric win on Saturday too. He had a good shot at Sunday, then he got caught up in that little melee, but he was strong all weekend. You know what? And gosh, what a heck of a run he had going on Sunday. I really would have liked to see him pull off the double.
Yeah, he had a good race going on Sunday as well. And we'll talk about this later, but there was a penalty for Eric Almirola in the Cup Series race. Him and Elliott Sadler both had post-race penalties, and we'll have to wait and see, or post-race inspection failures. We'll have to see if those result in penalties when NASCAR makes those announcements later on this week. I'm thinking around maybe Tuesday, but most likely Wednesday, we'll hear about the status of those two post-race inspection failures. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, because one sounds like it's very similar to what happened with what
Joey
happened
Logano.
With not Joey Logano, but Brad Keselowski. It's a kind of the same situation there. So again, we'll have to wait and see what happens, but that was kind of the downside of the weekend, if you will.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, every week, I mean, I'm surprised there's only one car. Usually it's two or three cars or more, but, you know, it's just amazing how these guys are, you know, they're just, NASCAR is catching one after another, and sadly, a lot of them are repeat offenders.
Yeah, and I think, too, that what's happening here is that the technology is helping NASCAR to manage what's happening with these cars before and after the race, so, and even during the race, for that matter. So the technology is the reason why I think we're seeing more and more penalties. And, you know, it's harder for these guys to get by with some of those things. But we'll see if there's any differences here after NASCAR goes through their inspection process in their R&D center and decide what penalty might be forthcoming. Now, coming up, Sal, the other thing that happened is this weekend is MDM Motorsports just had a stellar weekend. Starting at South Boston Speed, well, actually starting with the ARCA race on Saturday afternoon after the Xfinity Series race, ARCA saw Justin Haley in victory lane with MDM Motorsports. And then later on that night at South Boston, Travis Miller won with MDM Motorsports, the first Twin 100 race. And the second Twin 100 race was, again, an MDM Motorsports driver with Harrison Burton taking that victory. Pretty amazing weekend for that organization.
Yeah, it is. You know what? Too bad that – I don't know why I couldn't watch it. My cable just didn't – and I have DirecTV. And if for somebody that just didn't want to – they just didn't want to pick it up.
And pick up the ARCA race?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, I was going back and forth, and then we had a freak. We never have hail over here. We had a hailstorm that came through here and blew everything out, TV, everything. And I was like, wow, you know, I've never had that before. So.
Well, that's too bad, because it was. We may have some storms here later tonight. Hopefully, it won't affect my internet, but. I'll tell you what, it was pretty exciting to see MDM Motorsports have such a great weekend. And, you know, that's kind of coming off of Harrison Burton's win at Bristol as well. So they've had a streak of victories here. And, in fact, our next guest has arrived, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him into the queue here, because it was just an amazing weekend going from a week, for that matter, of going from Bristol and the victory there to Talladega, and to come up with three victories over this weekend. But let me first of all congratulate Travis Miller for your victory in the first Twin 100 at South Boston Speedway this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was definitely a very humbling weekend. You know, we definitely, you know, like to set our goals high, but that was pretty much, you know, something we never expected. We never thought we'd win three in one day. So it was definitely a very good weekend for MDM Motorsports.
Yeah, and it all took place in one day, too. And that was on Saturday. You were supposed to race, the ARCA race, of course, was supposed to happen on Friday and didn't because of the rain out at Talladega. But you guys had good weather. And how exciting was that for you? Because you're kind of a Virginia native. I know you don't live there now, but you grew up in that Virginia area. How exciting was that for you? I'm sure you had family and friends that were at that event.
I've raced South Boston quite a few times growing up. I ran late model stock cars there back in 2002, 2003, 2004, when Denny Hamlin, Timothy Peters, and all those guys ran that track. So I also ran some Hooters Spoke Up races there from 05 to 08. So winning in South Boston was definitely something that, you know, definitely be, you know, will remember my, throughout my racing career. It's definitely, you know, I love being there. I love the track. I think, you know, the Rice do a great job with keeping it up, and it's definitely one of my favorite tracks to go to.
Okay, so to win at your favorite track is got to be exciting. Now, joining me tonight, Travis, is our co-host, Sal Segala, and I know he has some questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass the baton over to Sal.
All right.
If first of all, Travis, you know, I want to congratulate you on the win. You know, like you said, that's also your first win in the K&N E-Series, you know, and being so close to home, and, you know, and gosh, it must have been a really exciting exciting first race.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, South Boston definitely, you know, definitely one of my favorite places to go to, simply because it does feel like home. And, you know, that's one of the reasons the Burton, you know, I think the Burton win was so special to him, simply because, you know, it's where his dad grew up and, you know, his family's from. So it's definitely nice to win in a hometown crowd.
You know, and actually, you know, as you're preparing for the first race, you know, of course, in the back of your mind, you know, there's always, you know, the second race, you know. At the beginning of this K&N West season, we did the same thing out here at Irwindale. We held a doubleheader. And I was talking with some of the drivers, you know, they're, you know, some of the focus, you know, was saving something for the second race, which is the big thing, was not getting any wrecks.
Yeah, and that was definitely something that we went over. And, you know, my whole thing was, you know, we got a second set of tires. The tires weren't really a problem as far as trying to save tires. And those bi-supply tires that, you know, they bring out there, you know, they do pretty well at a track like South Boston. So, you know, tire management wasn't a key. You know, there's only 100 laps. But, you know, some of the intensity is the K&N drivers, man. They wheel the crap out of those cars, and they drive them all out, you know, 100% every lap. So, you know, sometimes you got to go there with the mentality of, you know, we might not even make it to the next race, so you got to give it all your first race. And, you know, I'm not points racing, so that, you know, that played into my favor. You know, so while the other guys are trying to make it to the next race, you know, I also had the you know, I was fortunate enough, you know, to where if I didn't make it to the second race, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal.
You know, and actually, coming on the white flag lap, you know, and, you know, and, you know, they wave the white flag, you know, and, you know, you're looking at the win. What goes through your mind at that time?
It always seems surreal. I mean, you know, you kind of just wait for something to happen, something bad to go, you know, something to go wrong. You know, you're waiting for the next guy to come past you, and there's a lot of things that play out in your head. You know, that 40 laps or however many laps it is, you know, before the checkered flag always seems like forever. It's definitely, you know, it's a sigh of relief as soon as you cross the finish line and realize that, you know, you did win. But, you know, Purdy definitely drove, he drove a great race behind me, and he put the pressure on me quite often. There's a couple times, you know, I pulled away from him and got a decent sized gap to where I could ride, but he seemed to catch right back up. So, you know, he caught me on that last turn going through 3 and 4. And, my whole thing was just to, you know, take it easy getting into 3. And, you know, as soon as I felt him bump me, you know, from behind, you know, he hit me coming off a 4 for the checkered. So, as soon as I let him push me, you know, I just, you know, was able to get back to the throttle and, you know, keep him behind me.
Wow, that's, gosh, it sounds like it was, like you really had your handfuls there. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Travis, you mentioned that you were not points racing. This was your first race of the K&N Pro Series season. I know you've raced in the Camping World Truck Series before. What's next for you?
Well, the weekend prior to South Boston, I ran the ARCA race at Salem in the number 28
right.
MDM car, and we qualified on the pole. Or started on the pole. They rained out qualifying, so we started the race by practice speed. So we were the fastest in practice, and the race didn't go quite our way. We led quite a bit, and then. As the pit stop strategy played, it didn't play into our favor, so that kind of hurt us. And we had a really long green flag run, but I will actually be running the truck race, number 99 MDM Chevrolet at Kansas this coming weekend.
Okay, so that'll be pretty exciting. You've got a lot of momentum going
yeah.
with you into Kansas then. And talk about making that transition from racing the K&N Pro Series to now racing a truck.
Well, you know, luckily I have a limited amount of, you know, truck experience. You know, I definitely need a lot more seat time in the trucks to be completely comfortable with them. But in all reality, you know, I don't race every week, and you know, as some of these other drivers do. So just seat time in anything, I think, really helps us. And the fact that, you know, I was able to race the ARCA race, then the K&N race, and now the truck race, you know, I feel very comfortable simply because, you know, I know that MDM Motorsports is going to put a truck out there that's capable of running up front, and it's going to handle well, and it's going to have the power to get up front. So, you know, the transition won't be too hard. I mean, and, you know, this is going to be, a stiffer tire. We got the radial tires, and it's going to have a lot more power. But, as far as transition, I think it's going to be pretty – it won't be too big of a deal. Like I said, it's just I feel more comfortable now that I've run a couple of races, you know, the last 2 weeks in a row, to where I'm not just going in there, you know, rusty.
Okay. And then I also like to kind of highlight the people that have helped you behind the scenes. As you mentioned, you've raced ARCA, K&N, and now this coming weekend you'll be behind the wheel of a truck for MDM Motorsports. Talk about the team that's behind you. Is it the same team in all those situations, or do you have a different team?
Yeah, I actually managed MDM Motorsports. The idea, we pretty much started MDM Motorsports back in 2016 when I wanted to start my, you know, kind of create my own team, and, you know, that all got started when, you know, I talked to Martin McFarlane, and Martin McFarlane was a crew chief at H. Scott Motorsports, and talked him into coming over there and kind of running things at MDM Motorsports. So, you know, Martin McFarlane is, you know, definitely the guy that kind of helped me get everything going. He's probably one of the best guys in racing I know, and he's just very knowledgeable, and he's also a great race car driver. So he's very well rounded. We've also got Doug Howe, Marty Lindley, Shane Huffman, Jamie Jones. We've got great car chiefs. We've probably got 30, almost 28 people working at MDM Motorsports right now, and, you know, there's not a person there that I trade for the world. So just the whole team, you know, my dad has helped me out a lot, you know, with the race team, getting it going and getting it pointed in the right direction. He's very business savvy, and, you know, he's kind of helped guide it to where we are today.
Well, I think that was a very smart decision on your part, bringing over somebody from Turner Scott, because we know that they've had a very successful organization there, and it sounds like Mark McFarlane is one of the key people from that organization now working at MDM. Go ahead.
When we were trying to figure out what we were going to do, you know, like I said, Mark McFarlane was the guy that, you know, I knew that he was on top of his game, and he was the one, you know, the kind of guy to where if I brought him over to me, then, you know, I knew that the good people would follow, and that's exactly what happened. You know, everybody wants to work with Mark simply because, you know, he's such a great guy and very smart, knowledgeable, and he's very well-rounded. And, you know, like I said, we've got the crew chiefs we have there. I mean, they just build, you know, phenomenal race cars, you know, week in and week out.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to hand it back to Sal. He may have some other questions he wants to ask before we let you go here. Okay, Travis?
All right. Yep, thank you.
Travis, you know, actually Sharon kind of touched on one of the questions I was going to ask, you know, but what's the biggest, you know, handling characteristic you see between the ARCA car, a truck, and the K&N East car?
A K&N car, you know, drives a lot like a late model with a lot of power, other than the fact that it's a little bit heavier. You can drive the biggest difference is tires, I think. You know, the radial tires are a lot harder. You got a lot more grip, but, you know, when that grip goes away, you know, you kind of lose handling of the truck, and, it's, you know, you can drive a K&N car sideways a lot, and so, you know, they got a lot of tire roll. But you get into an ARCA car versus a K&N car, and there's a lot more grip, but when the grip goes away, it's gone. So, you know, you got all that horsepower trying to get the hook up. A truck, you know, a truck between a K&N car is completely, you know, there's a lot of difference as far as aerodynamics, you know, the way the trucks handle. You got to lean on the air a lot more in the trucks, and you got so much tire there and so much power. But like I said, once you step over the boundaries, you know, it's all over in the truck.
So let me ask you this. What would happen, say a young driver at a short track came up to you and said, "Hey, Travis, you know what? I'm ready to make the next step, you know, from, you know, say Legends, he says, you know, I need some advice, you know, as far as, you know, you know, how do I, you know, what do I look forward to, you know, getting from that, you know, to getting to the, into the next step. What would your answer be to him?
Well, if I was giving advice as far as, you know, how to go about it, I mean, there's so many different ways. You know, you got to, if you, you know, if the funding is not there, then you got to start there as far as, you know, trying to figure out if, how you're going to get a sponsor, you know. Racing is such an expensive sport, but as far as, you know, somebody coming up from something like a legend car, I mean, you just kind of have to start putting, you know, get your name out there for one. You need to try to associate yourself with a bigger team, whether it's a late model team. And then, you know, you just got to, you know, if when I was younger, I actually put in a lot of hours at Dale Earnhardt Jr. shop working with Mark McFarland, you know, in hopes that, you know, I would eventually get a shot at driving, you know, one of his late models and stuff like that. So really just putting yourself in the right positions and surrounding yourself with the right people can, you know, definitely provide you with, you know, opportunities down the road. I mean, it's going to take a lot of time and, you know, a lot of free labor, which is what I did. But, you know, you just got to, like I said, I think surrounding, you know, I've probably had the most success in my career simply by surrounding myself with the right people and putting myself in the right positions.
Well, congratulations again on the win. And good luck in the future here, the rest of the season. And with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Travis, first of all, thank you for being here tonight. We really appreciate it. And congratulations not only on your win, but a big weekend for MDM Motorsports and a big week, for that matter, going back to Harrison Burton's victory at Bristol. You guys have been, you got to be floating on cloud nine, heading into Kansas coming up this weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Like I said, I mean, you know, every weekend we go to the track in MDM Motorsports. You know, if we're not running up front, there's a problem that's out of our hands. These guys just build phenomenal race cars, and they do it week in and week out. But we're definitely very grateful for, you know, everything that's been happening for us, and, you know, we're just ready to see where it goes.
And you've got some great drivers, too. We're going to be talking to Justin Haley here in a few minutes after his win in the ARCA Racing Series. So you've got some great drivers behind the wheels of your car as well. And before you go, Travis, let's make sure fans know how they can follow you on social media.
They can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is TravisMiller_40, and my Instagram is TravisMiller40. My Facebook is just Travis Miller.
Oh, okay. So, and MDM Motorsports is also out there on social media as MDM Motorsports. So definitely give them a follow. They've got a lot of great things happening in this 2017 season, and fans won't want to miss a minute of it. So I know this race is going to be available on NBC Sports Network coming up this Thursday, so check your local listings and definitely tune in. I believe it's the first race starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and then, of course, the second race where Harrison Burton wins will be right after that. So, again, congratulations. We hope you come back and visit with us again, Travis. We really enjoyed the conversation.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take care now.
You do.
All right. That was Travis Miller with MDM Motorsports. And, again, a really big weekend for that organization, winning three races in one day. And he's got to feel pretty good going into Kansas this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You have that momentum on your side, you know. And the team doing as well as it did, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an exciting weekend for them, you know.
Well, and I think he brings up a good point. You know, he's going into the Truck Series event this weekend at Kansas, and they've been on break for a while. But he understands that they're not, you know, they're kind of on a learning curve. But they still have, with all the hard work that they're putting into it, they have a car that can really contend. It'll be fun to see what happens for them this coming weekend at Kansas.
Oh yeah, you know, and just the thought, you know, of having a car to contend, you know, you come in with that little extra, you know, ump in your step, you know, you come in, you know, with that little bit more of a little bit more confidence, you know, when you get behind the wheel. you know, which helps a lot. Oh yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, it helps in actually anything you do in life. You know, you get that little vote of confidence. You know, that little momentum going. You know what? And it goes a long way.
It definitely goes a long way. Now, we should mention that race that Travis won was the first twin race at South Boston. He had to pass Chase Purdy in order to get that victory. But once he passed him, he led 40 laps of the 100-lap race and came out on top. Taking third place was the NASCAR Next driver, Todd Gilliland, who's doing really great out there in the West Series as well as the East. And Dylan Bassett came in fourth. Harrison Burton, as we mentioned, won the second twin event. He finished fifth in this race and it was a pretty good night for all of those guys all told.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure they went back and they, you know, had a little celebration, and then, you know, then it's back to, you know, then it's
back
to, it's not the end of the season yet, you know, so, you know, let's not, you know, get too complacent, you know, let's get back to work.
Right. Now, these guys, the East next race isn't until June 3rd. They'll be racing the Memphis 125 at Memphis International Raceway on June 3rd, so we've got a little ways to go before we see another race there. But K&N Race West is racing this weekend, this coming weekend. We'll be previewing that race on Thursday night. But they'll be racing at Spokane on May 13th, which is Saturday, and that'll be a big night for the K&N West.
Oh yeah, it is. You know, they've had their month off too. You know, and actually, then after that, then they take a week off and they come back to race at at Orange Show right here down the street from me.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure you'll be there, Sal. Now, coming up here at 9 o'clock, we're going to switch over here to the ARCA Racing Series because, again, MDM came out on top with Justin Haley behind the wheel in the ARCA Racing Series. A big night for Justin Haley, getting a victory at Talladega Super Speedway. That's not a track that he has a lot of experience at. He's still kind of a young guy, but he's been cleared, obviously, to race at Talladega, and he's racing in the Camping World Truck Series this season as well. But Justin Haley, in his very first ever plate track start, came home with a victory. So that's pretty big, a big deal for Justin Haley.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, just the win in itself, you know, it's a big deal. You know, and then, you know, of course, you know, at a plate track, you know, the speeds are a lot more faster, you know, and you know, they talked a little bit about it on the pre-race show. You know, it's still a technical race, you know, because you still have to know how to draft, and you know, you still have to know how to get around guys, you know. So, I mean, and as young as Haley is too, you know, I mean, that's a huge win for him.
That is a big win for him, and his crew chief this weekend was Kevin Hamlin. So we know Kevin Hamlin from being a spotter in the NASCAR's top three series. So it's kind of nice to see him crew chiefing. And you know, actually, that might be a different Kevin Hamlin, because I know there's a couple different Kevin Hamlins in racing here. But it's really good to see a veteran crew chief supporting Justin Haley in his victory.
Oh yeah. You know, and then, you have to admit, I mean, Haley has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of, he has a lot of experience. You know, he's racing, you know, it basically, you know, anything that he can get is, you know, that he can get into, which is good, you know, because that seat time at his age is huge.
It really is huge, and we know Justin Haley knows how to wheel those cars and is very capable of getting into victory lane. But to do it at a big track like Talladega Super Speedway is really a big deal. And especially at his age, I think it's a big deal. And with that, Justin has now joined us. And congratulations, Justin. I can't believe your first ever start at Talladega and you're celebrating in Victory Lane. Did it seem a little surreal to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, first of all, thank you all for having me on the show. But, you know, it was definitely something I've always wanted to do. You know, you can't run a Super Speedway until you're 18. So just turned 18 a week ago or so. You know, there's only so many times you can watch Talladega and Daytona on TV before you, you know, you're like, oh, I want to go do that. So it was definitely something that, you know, I'm really going to cherish for a long time.
I would think so. It almost sounds like you were kind of biting at the bit to get an opportunity to race at a super speedway like Talladega.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just something I've always grown up watching and doing, and I've always thought it was cool. You know, I've always raced short track, so something completely different type of racing definitely catches your eye. And, you know, being able to feel the draft and stuff like that, it was something that I've always wanted to do, and I finally got the opportunity, and we definitely took advantage of it.
Okay, and I know you're working with Kevin Hamlin in the ARCA Racing Series. I'm not sure if he's your crew chief in the Truck Series as well. Does he work with you across both of those series?
Yeah, Kevin Hamlin's actually my spotter, and he's full-time in my truck deal, but
okay.
We just brought him over for the ARCA as well.
Okay, that answers my question then, because I kind of know Kevin Hamlin as a spotter, and I wasn't sure if it was the same Kevin Hamlin or not, so that answers that question. Now, Justin, with us today is our co-host Sal Sagala. I know you've been on the show before, so I know Sal's looking forward to chatting with you as well, and we're happy to have you here.
First of all, Justin, congratulations on the win. Gosh, you know what? Like you said, you know, just turning 18, you know, finally get a chance to race a super speedway and, you know, come home with the win, especially in a series like the ARCA series. You know, it's picking up a lot of steam as far as, you know, quality drivers and, you know, fans and just the racing in itself.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just how big of a platform it was. Obviously, you had all of NASCAR there watching, and it was right after the Xfinity race too, so there was quite the crowd there, so it was definitely, you know, cool to have that atmosphere and win in that atmosphere.
You know, and you know what, coming from, you know, like, you know, like, you know, I'm gonna reference, you know, your super late, you know, all the super late races you raced in. You know, you come over here to Talladega, you know, the track's like, you know, 3-4 times the size, you know, of the little half miles, you know, that, you know, it's your, you know, 3/8 miles, 1/4 miles, you know, that you're used to running, and you get out on a track this big. What's the first thing that goes through your mind, you know, as you're going out, you know, for practice, for qualifying, you know, that finally it's race time, you know, and you're going to be side by side, you know, drafting and having to do, you know, all the things, you know, that you've seen, you know, other drivers do?
Yeah, going into the race is definitely challenging because we didn't have that much practice. Qualifying got canceled, so I was never really in a pack to feel it, and we started mid-pack because of last year's owner's points. That's how they lined us up. So starting 23rd to 40 is definitely not the best place to be, but, you know, we stayed on the L line, and we made it up, and then later in the race, you know, we got to bump draft on the outside and made some pretty good runs. So it was definitely – it wasn't, like, nerve-wracking, but it was more like a stressful type of, I don't know what you'd call it, feeling. But, yeah, it was definitely like a different sense of emotions I was feeling, taking the green rather than, you know, taking the green like Bowman Gray or something.
You know, and actually, you know, this was your second win, you know, in the ARCA series. So where would this win stack up, you know, going back, you know, to all the other wins that you had?
You know, every win has a special place in your heart for a rhyme or reason. You know, all the K&N wins were on short tracks at places that I grew up racing, so they have, you know, a special heart in there. And then the ARCA Dirt win, I grew up racing dirt as well. So
that kind of touches my heart. But this is just, you know, totally different. Like I said, just such a big platform. So many people watching, and it's Dega, you know. It's something that, you know, not many people get to race on, let alone win on. So I'll definitely look at it forever. It definitely ranks up there pretty high.
Mm. Awesome. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay. I know this win wasn't necessarily an easy win either. You guys had several challenges you had to deal with. You had the battery issue. You talked about starting at the back to begin with. You had the battery issue after you raced your way up to the front. And the thing that I thought was amazing, Justin, is that you never took tires for the entire race. How did you guys know to do that?
You know, tire wear is really not that big at Talladega. It's not that very forceful on the tires. There's not that much lateral to the corners because they're so banked, so wide. So, you know, I don't think many people that ran up front took tires. It's just one of those places where the tires actually get faster as they run. And the last lap of the race was probably our fastest. But, you know, there was just no need to because the tires really don't wear. The pavement is super smooth and not too bumpy or abrasive there.
Okay, and then how about overcoming your battery issue and, you know, starting from the back of the pack? I know Talladega is one of those tracks where you can make up ground fairly quickly, but that was quite a bit for your team to deal with.
Yeah, so we were running up there second right after that red flag. We were saving fuel, and I went to refire the car, fired up. Okay, and there was an issue with the timing of the motor, and battery one shorted out or something. So by the time I reset all my gauges, reset the whole electrical system, turned on battery two, had everything switched over, I had already lost so many positions. So at that point, I was riding around in 30th on the caution, and my crew chief was like, hey, let's come in, let's fill up just to make sure we're okay at the end, and that actually helped us at the end. Everyone started running out of gas there at that green light checker, and we didn't, so... that electrical issue, looking back on it, probably saved our day. But at the time being, I was not very happy.
I can only imagine. But kudos to you and your team for overcoming it and having it work to your advantage at the end. Now, we've already straightened out that Kevin Hamlin was your spotter, not your crew chief. Talk about the rest of your team that supported you behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I also brought over my crew chief, Kevin Bellacourt, from the truck side. So
okay.
He was a familiar face, and he called the shots. And then, you know, we just had MDM Motorsports. So we really didn't have that big a team. I think we had two guys there on race day, plus my crew chief. So a little team that could, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Travis was just telling us that there's 28 people at the organization, and they're making a lot of really great things happen. So kudos to that entire MDM Motorsports organization. You guys have really had a stellar day on Saturday, not to mention coming into that weekend, you know, the win that MDM Motorsports had at Bristol as well. So talk about working at MDM and, you know, being able to race the different series with them.
You know, honestly, I don't even race for MDM. That was just a one-off deal. I had to race just because I needed to get approved. I run the trucks for GMS Racing, so I'm over there full-time racing, and NASCAR just precautionary wanted me to run Dega just to make sure I was able to do it. So I went over there to MDM and worked out a quick deal, and, you know, that was just kind of a one-off deal.
Okay, but that sets it up for you to be able to race Dega for some other NASCAR events, right?
Yep, correct.
Okay, so that's good news. Sal, any other questions for Justin tonight?
Yeah, Justin, which other races do you have on your schedule coming up?
Just trucks, man. That's all I got for this year. I'm just trying to focus on trucks, and nothing else has really come about. So not doing my normal 50 race a year schedule, just backed it down this year. You know, just things really didn't come together. But I'm really thankful to be racing trucks full time. You know, I'd rather be doing that than playing around in a bunch of little series.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, it's amazing, you know, to watch, you know, the progress, you know, of all the young drivers, you know, coming, from the short tracks, you know, into, you know, making a stop at ARCA, you know, then, you know, finishing out the season in the truck. So what's the one race that you have circled on your calendar as far as the truck season?
Obviously Dega. I mean, I'm pumped to get back to Dega. But, you know, Eldora would be cool, Bristol. I mean, any track. I love Phoenix. I love New Hampshire. I can tell you I don't like Martinsville. That's probably my least favorite track in the whole world. But, you know, just every racetrack. You know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, and every race is a great race. So, you know, I'm just cherishing it and living up life.
You know what? One of the neat things to see, you know, when any time that I go and cover a race is to see the camaraderie between all of you, you know, young drivers, you know, that you all, you know, get along and talk and all that, and I think that's really neat, because coming from like an older, you know, from way back, I guess they call it way back in the day, you know, the drivers, they were not really too friendly with each other.
Yeah. You know, I try to be as friendly as possible, but, you know, I look at it as more of a job. You know, I need to go out there and focus on my team. So, you know, a lot of drivers do communicate quite well with each other. But, you know, I just try to focus on my team, do my own thing. And as long as we're focusing on ourselves, we seem to run best. So it's definitely a good atmosphere at the racetrack.
You know what? And I just want to say, to close out my end of the show, I want to say, you know, congratulations again. And good luck, you know, the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll get you back on here, you know, to talk, you know, some more of your wins.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sharon?
Okay. Yeah, Justin, going into Kansas this weekend with the Truck Series, you guys kind of had a start, stop. And now you're ready to gear up and start racing again at Kansas Speedway this weekend. How are you feeling going into Kansas this weekend? What are your expectations?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. This is my first mile and a half, really. So, I mean, I just figured out the aero and the aero racing with the trucks. You know, it's not a normal short track. It's obviously a mile and a half. So, going there, we're just going to have to feel it out, take it lap by lap. And, you know I got a good team behind me to try to power through it. So, we're expecting a good finish and a good run this weekend.
Okay. And you've got a lot of great teammates there at GMS Racing, too, especially in the Truck Series, drivers that have come from a similar background as you. You know, Grant Dinfinger, Chase Briscoe, Ray Starka, and was the champion last season. Talk about your team there at GMS.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Johnny Sauter won the championship with GMS last year, so having him to lean on is you know, super, super great. You know, he's been really helpful to me. We've really clicked off. We're kind of the same background as just short track racers that, you know, just love racing. So, you know, it's been really great to work with him and get to know him.
Okay. So you've got a great mentor there. And, you know, with NASCAR's program, I think you've got a good shot at getting into the playoffs perhaps this season, so we'll certainly be rooting for you on that regard. Which track do you think is your best shot for winning in trucks?
You know, I keep going back to Dega, but I'm really good at Phoenix. Phoenix has always been like one of my really super duper, I just get it there, so I'm really looking forward to going to Phoenix. Unfortunately, that's in the playoffs, so you know, I'm gonna have to find a race before the playoffs to win. Which I would go with Mossport. It's a road course. I'm fairly decent at road courses. You know, I've been doing a lot of sports car racing, so I'm really excited to get to Mossport. That's like the second to last race before the playoffs, so I'm looking to go there. And then, you know, maybe the bigger tracks like Chicagoland or Michigan probably be pretty fun too.
Okay. Well, I'll see you at Chicagoland Speedway if you come there, because you know, that's one track I never miss every year. What about testing? Do you have any testing coming up that fans need to be aware of?
You know, we tested Iowa a little earlier in April, and then we tested Charlotte a few weeks back. So it was actually last week. So, yeah, I think I still have two or three more tests scheduled. So, you know, we're going to go try and test a mile and a half and, you know, try to get those deals figured out a little more. We struggled at Charlotte. So just try to get me a little more comfortable on the bigger tracks and get going to the acclimated to the fast speeds.
Okay. Well, Justin, we always enjoy catching up with you and having you on the show here at Fan for Racing Radio. And as Sal said, we hope you come back and visit with us again somewhere down the road. And before you go, let's make sure fans know how they can follow you. You said this is a one-off race for you at MDM, but so we'll say at GMS Racing.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to follow a team, GMS Racing, LLC, just type it in on Instagram or anything you want. And then to follow me, I'm on all social media platforms. So just go ahead and type in Justin Haley and you'll find me and give me a follow-up.
Okay, sounds like a plan. And Justin, we wish you the best out of Kansas Speedway this weekend and for the remainder of the season, okay?
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay, take care now. All right, that was Justin Haley. He racing with MDM Motorsports this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway in the ARCA Racing Series and racing with GMS Racing coming up at Kansas Speedway this weekend. I look for big things from Justin Haley, Sal.
Yeah, he's young enough, you know, to where, you know, and actually what's scary is that he's still developing. You know,
yeah.
He still has, you know, a lot of years of development, you know, and he's already at this stage in his development, you know, and it's awesome to see, you know, what he's really a good person out, you know, when you see him out on the track too, which I'm sure you know you've been out there before. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, we always wish, you know, all the drivers, you know, the best of luck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we've talked to the K&N Pro Series driver that won this weekend. We've talked to Justin Haley that won in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. It's time for us now to kind of chat a little bit about the Talladega Super Speedway and the Xfinity Series, as well as the the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Two big races this weekend. We'll start with the Xfinity Series. Eric Almirola came home with the victory. Elliott Sadler came in second as the highest finishing Xfinity Series driver. That was a really big deal on Saturday with that Xfinity Series victory.
Yeah, it was. You know what? And it was kind of a strange start to the weekend, you know, because, you know, of course, you know, like Justin mentioned, not Justin, but Travis mentioned, you know, about the, you know, about the rain that went through and, you know, and it made for an especially, you know, special weekend, you know, for like the fans that were in attendance, you know, to be able to watch the ARCA, Xfinity, and the Monster Energy Cup Series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I do have some post-race comments here from Eric Almirola, Fred Biaggi and Bill Dembeste are on this, as well as John Hansen, the crew chief. Now, I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of those folks, but let's listen to some of the comments post-race from Eric Almirola right after winning this weekend the Xfinity Series event.
Can I have your attention in the media center? We are now joined by the winning team of the Sparks Energy 300, the number 98, fresh from Florida, Ford. We are joined by owners Fred Biaggi, Bill Dembeste, driver Eric Almirola, and crew chief John Hansen. We'll start with Eric, because I know you have to run to qualifying. Great win today, your third win in the 99 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. Talk a little bit about this win and what makes it so special.
Well, it was a good day. I knew yesterday, I told John yesterday, 10 laps into practice, I was like, put this thing on jack stands and let's get it ready to race. Our freshman Florida Ford Mustang was so fast. and I could just make moves that I wasn't able to make at other speedway races. And even though we've had good speedway cars in the past, just something felt really special about this one yesterday, and I knew right away. So today we qualified 23rd, and I wasn't worried one bit. I knew when they dropped the green flag that we were going to be able to go up to the front, and we were. We did. We drove right up to the front, led some laps, won the first stage, got back up to the front in the second stage, and I got really, really depressed and disappointed when we had that mix-up getting on the pit road and we lost the draft. I thought, man, there goes our shot to win this race. And when that caution come out, I knew that was our opportunity to go win this race. And we come down. John made the call to come put four tires on it and fill it up with fuel. And I knew that was going to give me the opportunity to put my car in some really tight situations, and I was going to be able to make a lot more aggressive moves with sticker tires. And we were able to do that, and my car drove really great at the end. I was able to maneuver my car pretty much wherever I wanted it, and we were able to keep our Ford Mustang out front. So it was a great day. We've got these guys back to victory lane again. Fred and Bill and Lori, they let me drive their car a dozen times a year, and I have so much fun doing this. It is such a stress relief, if you will, because driving the Cup car, there's so much pressure and so much going on. And so to come drive this car, it makes me feel like a kid again when I used to go to the racetrack just to have fun. And there was a lot less pressure on the line, and you just had to answer to your grandfather if you ran bad. And that's what it feels like now. It's so much fun to race with these guys, and they bring a great race car to the track every time we show up to race. And, yeah, it was a good day, great day.
Awesome.
All right. He said a lot in that little bit of time there, Sal. Overcoming kind of some disappointment there and keeping his focus enough to be able to come back in and pull off that victory.
Yeah, he did. It was gosh, I mean, you know, what more can be said? He said it all, you know, in his interview, but it was a really good race. It was a really good win for Eric, you know, and, you know, you really got to, you know, take your hat off, you know, to the team and, you know, of course, you know, to the driver who stayed calm and cool, you know what, and, you know, he said we have a fast car to put on jack then to get ready for a race, you know, and then for that to happen, you know, and to still keep his focus knowing, you know, that, like you said, anything can happen. I mean, you know, we've seen the big one happen in both races, you know, and you know, he could have easily been caught up in it.
Absolutely. And just avoiding the proverbial big one at any of those super speedways is always a big deal. And Eric was able to do that. And then, you know, to lose the draft and to have a well-timed caution kind of work in his favor certainly helped as well. He talked about how great Biagi Gimbest is to work with, and the fact that he knew right away that he had a great car, and this car was kind of special over all the others, and he knew what that meant as far as going after a victory. And we certainly saw that happen. Any other highlights from that race that you want to make sure we mention, Sal?
No, that was really about it. You know what? It was the normal, you know, Cup driver, you know, come down, you know, and, you know, and race hard, race, you know, and put a show on, you know. You know, like I said, you know, it was, you know, it's just sad, you know, that more fans weren't there to see all of it, you know. But you know, that's just the state of the sport that we're in right now, and you know, for us that can't make it, you know, at least we're fortunate, you know, that we can watch it on TV.
Absolutely, and it's just ironic that the top two drivers, Eric Almirola and Elliott Sadler, are both under post race inspections, under evaluation at the R&D center at NASCAR. And, you know, there could be penalties forthcoming, and that will affect their Cup Series results. I think for Elliott Sadler, it might have been a lug nut situation, but for, For Eric Almirola, it was post-race inspection and his rear suspension, as we mentioned earlier, very similar to what happened to Brad Keselowski. And if they do the same thing, that could mean losing his crew chief for three races, some heavy fines, and a loss of some series points. And right now he's right at that cutoff line in the Cup Series. I'm talking about Eric Almirola.
Right now is not the time. Even with the points, you know, it's just not the time to lose points. I mean, you know what? It's I was talking to somebody, you know, who's real close with the couple of the NASCAR officials that do tech, and you know, with the technology they have out this year, you know, it's just, I mean, these drivers that are getting caught, it's like they're riding a very, very, very fine line.
Absolutely. Now the crew chief for Eric Almirola is Drew Blickensterfer. So he is the crew chief that faces a potential three race suspension, and we're expecting to hear later this week what NASCAR decides, if there's any difference here between what they found after Talladega and what they found with the number two car for Brad Keselowski. So, you know, fans will definitely need to stay tuned to that. After winning on Saturday, Eric Almirola actually finished fourth in the Cup Series race on Sunday. So that could be a very big deal for him if there's a penalty that's involved there. It just means another hill to climb in order to get his chance to perhaps be in the playoffs in the Cup Series.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it just falls back, you know, on, you know, something, you know, it could probably be something real minute, you know, that it's just, you know, but you know what, rules are rules, you know, and they're at the point now, you know, where if you enforce it for one team, you have to enforce it for all the teams, you know, and you know, the teams know, you can't really say the drivers, but the teams know, you know, what, you know, what the rule package is, you know, and maybe it's time, you know, that they, you know, I know they want to be as close, you know, to the red spot as possible, but, you know, maybe now it's time, you know, that they back off a little bit more and make sure that they do get through, you know, points are, they're just, especially with the new segments, you know, the points they can get there. Points are really going to be crucial towards the end of the season when they start looking at, you know, some of the points they might have lost because of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've talked about this before, how important the stage racing is and the points that these drivers are accumulating from stage racing. But just as important are the penalties and the loss of points and how it can affect the team's results at the end of the year. So definitely stay tuned for that. Now, I do have here also some post-race audio after Ricky Stenhouse won, and I thought it was just this was a great, great victory, not just for Ricky Stenhouse, but for Roush Fenway Racing as well. And I know we won't get to this part of the audio because it's a 33-minute audio. I'm just going to play the first part with Ricky Stenhouse's comments. But they talked about how they felt all along that they've got the right people in the right places. It was just a matter of getting the right combination going at Roush Fenway Racing. But let's listen to what Ricky Stenhouse has to say. Also on this audio is Brian Patty, his crew chief, Newmark, who is the president at Roush Fenway, and then Jack Roush is on this audio as well. We may not be able to get to all of them, but we will listen to Ricky Stenhouse here.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we will continue on with today's post-race media availability for the 48th annual GEICO 500 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. We're joined by today's race-winning team, including Ricky Stenhouse Jr., driver of the number 17 Fifth Third Bank Ford. We have crew chief Brian Patty, We have team owner Jack Roush and team president Steve Newmark. Ricky, we're going to start with you. This has been a long time coming for you. How sweet is this victory for you, your first win in 158 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series start?
It doesn't get any sweeter. You know, I look at our first 150 or so, and I can only hope that the next 150 are going to be kind of like Joey Logano's. He had to tell us, you know, he had 300 races. The first 150 weren't great. The next 150 were. So hopefully this is the start of that. You know, a lot of hard work from Brian, Patty, Steve, and Jack, and everybody at the shop to continue to put race cars out there and continue to give us the resources. And, man, it's awesome to finally finish it off.
Brian, you brought a fast Ford, a fast fifth-third Ford here to Talladega Super Speedway this weekend. Just walk us through the race from your perspective, the strategy to get Ricky in position to win this race.
Oh, yeah, obviously Friday was a surprise to all of us how much speed it had. So, yeah, we, you know, all the four teams got together this morning and talked and came up with a strategy for the first two segments. most all our four teammates helped us out, gain some, you know, stage points, which is not what we've done the first seven or eight races. So that was nice to finish second. Second one got a little out of control and a little damage. Guys did a nice job fixing it up. And, yeah, the last one's just, you know, you just hope for the best.
Missed the big wreck.
Yeah, it's just, you know, get yourself in position. And thank God at the end with a green white checkered, we were in the first two rows, and that's pretty much where you're going to win from.
Steve, this organization.
Okay, so that is you know, Brian Patty kind of sums it up there in that last stage. It's kind of anything goes and anything can happen. You just kind of hold your breath and wait for it to be done. But what a big deal for Ricky Stenhouse and Roush Fenway.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge deal. I mean, you know, it was so huge that his dad even got arrested, you know, trying to get to victory lane. But it was kind of funny because, you know, I mean, you got to be honest. The last person you thought would win this would be Ricky Stenhouse. And when you look back a few years ago, when Trevor Bayne came into and raced a cup race, but it wasn't for Roush. He ends up at Roush Fenway, but it was for the Wood Brothers. You know, and he ends up winning, you know, the Daytona 500. And during the one of the pre-race shows, I think it was on Fox, they had Ricky on there. You know, he was talking about Brian Clough and, you know, and, you know, the relationship they had, you know, and, you know, and he talked about, you know, what it meant to, you know, to be on the pole and, you know, and to start first and all that. And then, you know, he talked a little bit about it, you know, what would he do if he wins and stuff like that. You know, and then he ends up coming back and winning the race. I mean, that's just totally awesome.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of fans really miss Brian Clausen, and it's not just the fans. It's a lot of these drivers as well, and we know Ricky Stenhouse was very close to Brian Clausen, so it was good to have him remember him during this pivotal time in his career. You know, his girlfriend, I know you probably will have a comment here, but Danica Patrick was in victory lane with him, and she said she had a good feeling of going into this race for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., that there certainly was a possibility that he could have a very good finish.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, a couple's always going to say that, you know, about each other, but you know what? He was strong. I mean, he got the pole. You know what? You know, so I mean, right, you know, that right there, you know, spoke about, you know, which direction the Roush Fenway racing program is headed. You know, I know in the past we've talked about it, you know, that they're, you know, they're probably one of the worst, you know, that they're, whether they're behind in technology or what it is, but, you know, but they, you know, they need to get clicking again. And, you know, and this might just be that one race, you know, that really gets Roush, you know, to start picking up, you know. I'm not saying a whole string of wins, you know, but at least, you know, some top tens and some top fives.
Absolutely. It's certainly a good sign for Roush Fenway Racing to come home with a victory in the Cup Series. You know, let's talk a little bit about the incident with A.J. Allmendinger that created the big one there toward the end of the race when he hit the back corner panel. You know, it's one of those things that we hear over and over and over again that does not work. I know I listened to Race Hub earlier today, and A.J. Allmendinger mentioned that he was just trying to go after a victory. He was trying to put himself in the best position. It really wasn't the best thing to do that. And he said he owns up to it. He knows he made a mistake. But, you know, Talladega and all these super speedways are one of those tracks where, you know, it's a matter of inches that can make all the difference in the world. And, you know, all these drivers have to have a lot of trust in each other on the track. And you know, I think he might have lost a little trust there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tala, okay, I thought you might have the mute button on. Your thoughts about A.J. Allmendinger?
Yeah, no, actually I did have the mute on. I was out of somebody at the door, and I'm trying to get rid of them. And they don't, one of these people just wants to hang around and, oh my gosh. But anyways, yeah, back to AJ, when you look at his career in a whole, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's one of those drivers, you know, that's always been good for the sport. You know, he's always been positive, you know, even through all the dark years that he's had. You know, he's always been positive, always had a smile on his face, you know what, and he wrote out, you know, every contract that he's ever had, you know, he's fulfilled it, you know, he's come back, you know what, and you never hear him complain, you know, whether, you know, about, you know, you never hear him complain about anything. You know, he's one of the drivers, you know, kind of like a Bobby Labonte type driver, you know, as far as his attitude, you know, and you know, he's always a ray of fresh light or something like that.
That's true. He's always a very positive driver, but I think the incident on at Talladega was a miscue. I don't know if it was from the spotter or him, but something that I think could have been avoided. Even as a bystander, we know not to hit that rear corner panel, especially when they're in the corners, because it will cause a big wreck.
Yeah, you know, but even Gordon mentioned something about that too. He says, you know, if he checks up, he's got guys behind him, you know, that are probably going to run him over.
The accordion. Yep.
You know. So I mean, so what happens if he checks up? I mean, you know, he was in a catch-22 situation, and you know, and. Sure, you know, he did clip the corner, but I mean, you know, you've really felt bad for Chase. You know, I mean, Chase went for one heck of a ride, you know, himself, you know, up on the, one tire up on the wall, you know, and getting close to hitting the fence. Had he hit the fence, I'm sure it would have been a lot worse for Chase. He probably would have went end over and flipped and, you know, done some, you know, crazy acrobatics. But, you know, it's Talladega, you know what, you know, when they did the Magic 8-Ball before the race, you know, all the drivers, you know, they kind of, you know, expect, you know, they know what they're up against, you know, with the, you know, because of, you know, the speed they're racing, the drafting, you know, and of course the big one that's always lurking.
Yep. And you know, that incident took out a lot of the big names and kind of wrecked a lot of people's day. You know, looking at the top five here, it really is a great top five. You've got Ricky Stenhouse, of course, winning. Jamie McMurray had a great day, finishing second. Kyle Busch in third. Eric Albarola, who won the Xfinity Series, in fourth. And then Casey Kane finishing fifth. You know, there's some pretty cool names in that top five.
Yeah, there is. You know, and even our third place finisher, you know, Kyle Busch in his own way. You could tell he was trying to avoid the fine, but finally, you know, at the end, he says, you know what? He goes, you know, next week we go to, like I said, real racetrack or something to that effect. But, you know he wanted to say more than that, but, you know, trying to keep his money in his own pocket and not give any more of it away. Casey Kane, he needed a good run. I mean, gosh, Casey just, I mean, I think a lot of people forgot that Casey still runs in this series.
And Casey has been kind of stepping up to the plate, I think, a little bit more this season, and we're seeing better results from him as a result of that. You take into consideration how great the season has been for Kyle Larson to see Jamie McMurray now finishing second. That says a lot for the kind of season that Chip Ganassi Racing is having this year as well. We've talked a lot about Roush Fenway and where have they been, and they showed up this weekend with Ricky Stenhouse in the victory. But Chip Ganassi Racing has really been having a stellar season as well.
Oh yeah, they are. They've been, you know, really, really good, really good, strong season, you know, and I think what it is they're not that they never have, but it seemed like Chip always played favorites to his IndyCar team, you know, and you know, the Cup team was there, but I think now this year, I think he's finally realizing, you know what, that he has a young driver that signed for a lot of years, you know what, and he's probably finally realizing, you know, this year he has to make something happen with them, you know, they need finishes, they need wins, you know, they need top fives, they need top tens, you know, in order to, you know, keep the fan base, you know, and also, you know, keep the sponsors happy. And I think with Kyle Larson, you know, I think he found that, you know, and what he needed from a driver, because Kyle is just, he's really good for the team, you know what, and Jamie will always be there, you know, when it comes to, you know, the plate tracks, you know, you can always count on him, you know, to have a good finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's certainly shown that this season, along with Kyle Larson, so really good to see them having a good day. Now, in the next top five, or the rounding out the top ten, let's say, sixth place Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski came back and finished seventh. Jimmy Johnson came home with an eighth place finish. Paul Menard ninth, and David Ragan in tenth. One of the things I like about Talladega is it can really shake things up a little bit, and I think this shows that you can see a variety of different drivers up in that top ten.
Yeah, it has. You know, we're starting to see, you know, a lot more diversity up there, and you know, a lot more, you know, just like you said, you know, a lot more, you know, the racing's getting better. I think the segment racing really, I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, back and forth, you know, on the segment racing, but I think the segment racing has really added a lot of excitement to it, because even DW and them are saying, you know, the race is just kind of putting along, but wait till 10 to go when the segment's going to end. He says, and that's when this race is really going to heat up. And so far,
yeah,
we've been seeing a lot of heat with, you know, 10, 15 to go, you know, a lot of drivers are starting to make their move, you know, and say, hey, you know what, it's coming towards the end of the race. You know, we have to make our move now, you know, cause if not, you know, I mean, look what happened with Brad.
If I remember correctly, there are only 25 laps in the first two stages. So I don't think it was they had to be in position at the right time, without a doubt. So definitely, I think the stage racing has brought a lot more excitement to racing in general this season, and I'm a fan of it.
You know, and even Jimmy Johnson mentioned too, he says, you could be having a bad day, but you win a segment, you know what, and at least you go home with something. You know, you go home with something for your efforts at that point in the race. You know, it's not like before, you know, where you could have a outstanding race, you know, and maybe the last third of the race, you know, all of a sudden, you know, here comes a big one, you get caught up in it, you know, and you know, you end up finishing, you know, 30 something, you know, he says, you know, the days, you know, you kind of feel like the day's wasted, you know, that all that good running you had at the beginning of the race, you know, kind of just got all thrown out the door. But at least he said with the segment racing, and we've seen it with Brad. Brad won the first segment. You know, he comes back the second segment. You know, and you know he's way back in the pack. And you know, of course, you know, the last segment he almost got cut up in that big one. You know, he got a little bit of front end damage, fixed it up. You know, still that man, I think managed to pull off a seventh place finish. But I mean, with that, with those points that he picked up in the first segment, I mean, and then you know, it gave his team. You know, he went home with something to show for, you know, for leading, you know, early in the race.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's been a great feature of racing this season is, and I think these points are, and you know, they're going to recognize the driver that wins the regular season this year as well. That person's going to get 15 extra playoff points going into the playoffs. So a lot of these drivers want to be that driver that gets those extra 15 points before the playoffs begin in September. Now, I want to talk about the Sunoco Rookie of the Year as well, because it's pretty tight when you look at the standings in the Cup Series. Daniel Suarez has the lead at 106 points, but not that far behind him. Just 7 points behind him is Ty Dillon with 99 points, and just 2 points behind Ty is Eric Jones at 97 points. So those three drivers, I think, are going to be battling it out for the rest of the year for that Sunoco Rookie of the Year. Or do you think Daniel Suarez is going to put some gap in there?
You know, that's hard to say. You know, he's still struggling in the Cup car. You know, he just doesn't look like, you know, he feels like he's that comfortable. You know, and it's affecting, you know, where he's finishing in the race. But you know, there's no saying, you know, that all that can't be overcome. You know, he could be, you know, the next, you know, Jimmy Johnson. But you know, as a rookie, you know, and doing all the, getting all the right wins and, you know, and all that, you know, the rookies need to get and you know, keep this a really tight battle till the end of this, till the last race.
Absolutely. In the Xfinity Series, it's kind of a two-way race between William Byron at 111 points and Daniel Hemric with 105 points, just a six-point difference there. What do you think there? Is Daniel Hemric going to close the gap, or is William Byron going to extend that gap?
I think, from what I'm seeing now, I think William Byron's gonna. I think he's gonna extend it. I don't know. I still see Daniel Hemric making a lot of mistakes, and you know, and I think until he gets over that you know, that small hump in his program, you know, it seems like Justin is just, you know, he's you know, he's right there, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting, especially when they get to Eldora, when they get back to you know, back to the plate tracks.
Mhm. Okay, so yeah, I think I think both of those are going to be fun to watch for the rest of the season. Now, Xfinity Series is going to be off this weekend. They're not racing again this weekend. It's going to be the Camping World Truck Series and the Cup Series that are racing at Kansas Speedway this weekend. And we'll have a lot to look forward to there. The Go Bowling 400 is Saturday, May the 13th, and that's a nighttime race, so they'll be under the lights at Kansas. 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time with coverage on Fox Sports 1. I'm sorry, that's Saturday night is the Cup Series race. Friday night is the Camping World Truck Series. They're racing the Toyota Tundra 250. And again, it's going to be under the lights. That's Friday, May the 12th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, again on Fox Sports 1. So no racing on Mother's Day.
Yeah, you know, I think that's good that they do that. You know, you have to take the time out, you know, and honor your mom. You know, and I think
absolutely.
That's good. You know, the NASCAR, you know, cancels the races on Sunday, you know what, and you know, and let the moms be moms. You know, I mean, the moms, quote unquote, are the ones that put in all the hard time at home, quote unquote. But, you know, I think to honor them in that perspective, you know what, and let the drivers, you know, come home to them, you know what, and if they, you know, if they choose so, you know, to spend time with them. And
absolutely. I think it's great that they're doing that. Although I did, will say, I thought it was fun to have the moms give the commands. A lot of times they'd have the moms at the track, and maybe they'll still do that this weekend at Kansas. But I thought that was a nice feature to have the moms give the command for the drivers to start their engines and to have the, put the spotlight on them a little bit at the track on Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, it's always nice, you know. I know for myself, I love those breaks. You know, they really make it, you know, nice. You know that, you know, you can go out and do something on Sunday. You know, besides
the racing.
You know, the races. Yeah, you know, like this past Sunday. You know, we got together with some friends. And actually Saturday, too, because Urndale got rained out. So it was neat to spend the whole weekend, you know, with my fiance, you know, instead of just, you know, half a day Sunday, because usually Saturday I'm tired, burnout, sleepy. You know, but it was nice, you know, to be able to spend, you know, a couple of days with her, you know, and, you know, do some things
that
we wanted to do. And
now, what about this weekend, Sal? Are you going to be at the racetrack this weekend?
Sure, I'll be running my own race. I have
what
a 10K on Saturday morning. I have a
10K
on Saturday morning. A Disneyland 10K, and then from there, then probably going to sleep until next year. I'll probably be that tired. But, no, actually, we're running 10K at Disneyland in the morning. And then my fiancé bought me tickets for Billy Joel for Saturday night.
Nice.
So Saturday night, we're going to go see Billy Joel in concert at Dodger Stadium.
Well, I hope you have a good time, Sal, at the Billy Joel concert.
I'm going to miss being at the track so much. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to miss we'll get to see some racing, and I know I'm going to be, this weekend's going to be especially busy for me, so... I'm glad the racing is Friday and Saturday, and I'm glad I'm able to tape it and catch up with it when I get a chance, because I love the racing and seeing what these drivers are doing throughout the season. So, anyway, are you...
So,
go ahead.
So tell us a little bit about your Chicago weekend that's coming up.
It's going to be a madhouse. I'm, that's all I'm going to say about it. It's going to be a big family weekend, and that's all I have to say about it. There's so many things packed into this weekend. It's incredible. I'll be lucky if I survive it, Sal. We'll just leave it at that.
And then I talked to Lee Montgomery. He's wondering when you're going to go to your first NHRA. Remember, Elon's not there no more.
I know.
Elon
so
Warner's
Lee
not.
Montgomery is looking for me to show up at the NHRA race. Are they
there
in Chicagoland in September, right? I mean June.
In June, yeah.
Yeah,
and
we'll have to see.
I told him, Elon said that Sharon's invited, you know, and that John Force is going to give her the full thing. I told him, he said, okay, so tell her that I'll do whatever Elon will do, I will do too.
All right. Well, and does that include taking him to some of the great eating places in Chicagoland?
Oh, man. You know what, Sharon? You will be his best friend.
I can only imagine.
You will be his best friend. Make sure to take him to that pastrami place that I had at the airport.
Oh, okay. Well, I know at the NHRA, talking about them being at Chicagoland, Route 66 Raceway at Chicagoland is actually the July 6th weekend from the 6th to the 9th. So that's over 4th of July weekend. I'll have to see if I can't work something out.
Take one of your family members with you.
If they want to go. we'll have to see. Anyway, Sal, we're coming up to the end of the show here. We need to get back to racing talk. And I know you've been talking about doing some writing at some point with Fan for Racing.
Yes, I have been. And, you know, Sharon, I'm really putting a lot of heart into it. It's just, how do you say the first letter out there?
Well, we got to get you
typing
started.
That first letter.
that first letter is starts with Sal Sagala. And, you know, we'll look forward to having any post that you send our way anytime. So, you know, we've got some racing coming up at Kansas this weekend, and I know I'm working on a piece on Clint Bowyer. That's his home track, and I know a special track for him. He's had a great season so far at Stuart Haas Racing this season, and I know this has been a season that he's really looked forward to after last year. And to be at his home track with Stuart Haas Racing this weekend, I think is going to be a big deal for him.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of Clint Bowyer, I'm going to send an email out. Actually, I'm going to send a text out and try and get Andy Bowyer on the show next Monday. Now that the Monster Energy Supercross Series is over, they had their finale this past weekend at over here in Las Vegas. So their season is done, and I think now's the time to get Andy Bowyer back and talk some more Supercross.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to talking with Andy again and catching up with him. Andy, of course, is Clint Bowyer's brother, and having him on after the Kansas weekend, I think, is very appropriate. So I'll definitely look forward to that, Sal. Also, keep in mind that we're doing the NASCAR weekend preview show this Thursday night with MJ Huseman. We'll be doing the preview of the Camping World Truck Series and the Cup Series at Kansas Speedway this weekend. And I'm going to see if I can't get a driver available for that night as well and see if we can have a driver help us preview that race. It was great talking to Justin, I know. Go ahead.
So how is that working out with MJ?
So far, so good. I think he puts a lot of effort into it. And, you know, I think as we continue, we've only done three shows so far. So as we continue to work on our flow and get our rhythm going, I think it'll be a good matchup.
Well,
have
don't
you
forget
listened
all
to
any you.
Shows?
No, I'm going to start listening to the podcast now that I'm back working on Days again. So at least this way, you know, I can start putting more effort into our Monday night show. It was, I mean, you know what we went through, but for all you out there, all you listeners out there that are listening now or listening to the podcast, don't forget to tune in on Thursday nights and listen to a really good preview show, you know, a race weekend preview show. And if you get a chance, you know, call in and ask us some questions, you know, put them to the test.
Absolutely. No, we always appreciate it when fans either tweet us or call into the show and bring up questions for us to discuss or questions for our guest. So definitely we appreciate all of our listeners, and that's whether you're listening live or listening to the podcast. We appreciate all of you. And Sal, we're also available on iTunes now on Tuesday for the Monday night show, and on Fridays for the Thursday night show. So fans can always listen to the podcast of all of our past shows here at Fan for Racing Radio.
Wow, that's pretty awesome to be on iTunes. Now I'm part of the Apple, the Apple gang.
Family.
there you go, Apple family. Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I knew there was a reason I bought an iPhone.
There you go. And with that, we'll also be back here next Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the NASCAR and Race Talk review of the weekend of racing at Kansas Speedway this weekend. And, Sal, I appreciate all that you do. I'm looking forward to talking to Andy Boyer next Monday, and definitely looking forward to chatting with you any Monday throughout the season.
Yeah, same here, Sharon. You know what? It's really been an honor being your co-host. I mean, for what are we going on 5 years? Close to 5 years.
We started at the end of 2011, and this is now 2017.
Wow.
So that's a good 5 years. Yep.
Yeah, call me Rumpelstiltskin, man. I must have been asleep somewhere in between there, but
well,
yeah, it's been a heck of a run from just can you help me with one show?
Yep, it's been a really long run, and you've been a big supporter of Fan for Racing Radio, and I've loved having you as a co-host here on Monday nights, and I can't wait to make it another 5 years, Sal.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Shoot, 5, let's make it 10, let's make it 15.
There you go.
I better watch what I say.
Well, I like that thinking, and we'll see what happens. We'll take it one show at a time. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good. I'm all about one show at a time.
Okay.
That's about my speed.
Well, look forward to next weekend, and I think we'll call that a wrap, Sal, and you enjoy your race week, and we'll talk to you on the other side next Monday night.
All right, everybody, have a good week. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and for all the kids and fathers, make sure and treat those mothers as queens as they are.
Thank you, Sal. That was great. Good night, everybody.
Okay, good night.